When we do this official dedication of this team to Sam Allen, you're going to have to make sure all these heavyweights out there embracing and supporting you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so.
You hanging out with the heavyweights.
Well, okay. That's the way it was. You're a heavyweight. I'm hanging out with you.
Coach, visiting with Sam Allen as we get ready to dedicate one of the teams in the League of Our Own Baseball in honor of this living legend. Sam Allen, I thank you for your time, and we'll definitely get back together again in the future.
Okay, Coach, and you stay in the fight. Whatever you do, stay in the fight.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'm in your corner. Hey, look, I'm in your corner.
That's what I want to hear.
All right. We're going to go 15 rounds. Look, it might not be a knockout in the early round, but we're going 15. We prepared to go 15 rounds.
We go get there. Let's go.
All right.
The coach is on the live line today with one of the legendary Negro League baseball players, Sam Allen. How we doing today?
Doing great.
Okay, well,
honored to be on your program today.
Well, I'm once again honored to have such an icon like you.
Yeah, well, you're an icon because you're out there struggling in the field, see? And they are the ones that, you know, the unsung heroes. The ones that make things happen.
Well, we're trying to make it happen, and we're trying.
Yeah, we got to make it happen.
We're trying to make it happen by starting off by the Lou Baseball Independent Baseball League naming a team after Sam Allen.
That's an honor. I'm really elated. I didn't ever think that I'd have a team named after me, you know. But I'm happy.
Well,
and God has blessed me, and I hope that I'll be a blessing to someone else.
Well, that means when you're gone, your legacy will be living on in the minds and hearts of a future generation.
And I appreciate that, Coach.
All right.
I really appreciate that. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to help enhance this.
Okay, so we're going to set a date in the near future for the future dedication, and we are expecting you and the public to be in attendance.
Well, I intend to be there.
So let's talk a little bit about your accomplishment. I mean, Sam Allen, you started playing baseball, or rumors have it that you started playing baseball in the mid-50s.
Yes, I in the Negro League. I started really in the inner city when we had the recreation where the poor kids and where everybody played in the same league, you know.
Uh-huh.
We didn't have travel ball, so we didn't have any money. We all used the same bat, and I was left-handed, so I had to take a glove, put it on the backwards, put the glove on backwards when I started out. And then things changed. As I grew older, I played high school ball and rec ball. And after high school ball, we started playing semi-pro ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I realized that I had some type of potential. And then back in 1951, when Willie Mays, he was the rookie of the year with New York Giants, in 1952, he was drafted into the Army.
Uh-huh.
And it was a fellow who had played in the Negro League. Matter of fact, his name was Joe Lewis. He played in the 1924 World Series. He was the backup catcher with the Hilldale Giants.
Mm-hmm.
And he lived in this area. And I was familiar with him because some of the older fellows that I knew introduced me to him. And in 1953, with Mays over at Fort Houston's, he played on baseball at Houston's during the week. And on the weekend, he had his little all-star team that he would put together. And they chose me to go with them to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the first game I played. I think I hit one foul ball. They had left-handed pitchers. And I wasn't ready, so they Then the next game, I think I hit a couple of foul balls. But by the third game, I was hitting. You know, I had to make adjustments. And that's what baseball is all about, adjustments. If you can't adjust, you can't play it.
Well, that was back then, and that's the same now.
It's the same. It's the same. It hadn't changed. That's one thing. It's putting the bat on the ball. Now, if you can't put the bat on the ball, you can't play the game. That's simple.
You know, and I tell guys all the time, having coached college baseball, scouted 5 major league teams, the only difference in major league baseball / Negro League baseball is the game become quicker, the competition become better, and you eliminate the ones that can from the ones that cannot. That's the only difference from the...
Yeah, and the difference in Negro League ball, after the game, we got on the bus. We didn't go to the hotel to go to sleep. 9 times out of 10, 3 or 4 nights, you slept on the bus 3 or 4 nights a week. You didn't go to the hotels, and then you had a couple of dollars a day for meals, so you ate a bowl of beef stew, and you didn't have the nutrition that they have, you know, in the majors with the steak dinners and prime rib and, you know, seafood platters. We didn't have that. We had, you know, crackers, cheese and crackers, and they called it the chitlin' circuit, and that's what it was, you know.
Well, I tell you what, I think if you had to go back and do it all over, you wouldn't do anything differently.
Man, let me tell you something. I look back and laugh. I remember 1958, I was with the Raleigh Tigers, and we were up in Welch, West Virginia, and the lady put us out the hotel. I'm hitchhiking. I got a record player, 10 jazz albums, suitcase, in my baseball bag, mm-hmm. out there hitchhiking. And I said, well, this is the end of it. I'm not going to play anymore. The next year, I went right back out there and played another year. And when I got drafted in the Army in 1906, I cried like a rat eating onion. I didn't want to go. I wanted to play another year, because that's when Satchel Paige and them were going up into Canada, mm-hmm. and I had a chance to go with them to Canada, but I had to go to the Army.
To go serve the country, huh?
Yeah, 1960. Yeah, I had to serve the country. Yep. But I cried, though. I didn't want to go, I tell you. But I didn't have any choice. During that time, they were drafting, and like the fellow said, they draft Ted Williams. So, you know, if they drafted him, I didn't have any problems. They didn't have any problems drafting me.
You had to go. Now, you know, I was, you know, we did an interview a few years back, you and myself, but I was doing a little more research on you to get some new material, and I come to find out we're trying to honor your legacy and your history by naming a team in a little baseball after you, but somebody beat us to it in 2003 when you was inducted into the African American Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah,
Now, what's that about?
That's the Hall of Fame that we have here in Tidewater, in Norfolk. Mm-hmm. That we had the local players, you know, they had the Hall of Fame here, but they didn't honor, you know, African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So we formed out. They had one. We had what you call was. This African American Sports Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
and I was inducted in 2004, I think it was.
So, how much of an honor was that for you?
It was an honor, but I enjoyed that, and I tell you, in a few years ago, the baseball park here in Norfolk. The baseball shrine, mm-hmm. they honored me, and they put my pictures on the wall here at Harbor Park here in Norfolk. And they honored me with the class with David Wright, who played with the Mets.
Uh-huh.
And that was a great honor for me, too, you know, to have your picture on the wall in the ballpark.
Man, you big shot. I'm going to have to come down there and take a picture with you.
You know, ain't no big shot, man. I'm just trying to make it.
Well, and I see you're starting to get your accolades and your recognition from, you know, this game that a lot of Negro League players never thought that they would get.
Yeah, and then I tell you, I go with the Major League Baseball every year at the All-Star game. They have two players that from the Negro League that All-Star week, they pick that go out to the All-Star game. So I'm one of them now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going for the last 3 years, but I'll be heading to Texas this year to the All-Star game. I was in Seattle, Washington last year. I've been to L.A., and I've been to the one in Colorado, Denver.
Man, you need somebody to carry your bags or something. I'm available now.
My daughter, and my grandson, they got that
on. Look at that. They just beat Coach to it up, but I'm trying.
I think that might be a fight.
Look, I'm trying to get in and daughter. Look, I guess I can't beat the daughter grandson. That way I ain't gonna win.
Yeah, my doctor told me, said, "Listen, man, I need to try to go." Yes, sir. Yeah, I love it. I tell you.
A League of Our Own Baseball, Midwest Fall Independent Baseball League, names team after former Negro League baseball player Sam Allen. In 1957, he went on to play for the Kansas City Monarchs. In 1958, he played for the Raleigh Tigers. And in 1959, he played for the Memphis Red Sox. The team shall be named the Sam Allen Monarchs to forever honor his memory for past, present, and future generations. In 2003, he was elected into the African American Hall of Fame. If you are a baseball player interested in being a part of this team or would like to become a sponsor, booster or donor, please contact us at 205-264-1468.
So, I mean, you know, when you think about your age and the fact that you're getting that recognition, I mean, did you ever think that it can get this good?
I never had the wild beyond my wildest dream. I never thought that I would, you know. And I tell you something too, Coach, I had to time in when it was about the 4 years when they were giving the stipends to the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get my stipends up until about I was 82. I had to time in, but it was hard, you know, to find the records.
Mm-hmm.
And the fellow told me, said, "Look, I know you played because I got a fellow named Cam. He lives out his passion was to check the papers,"
mm-hmm,
"and get the box scores. You know, that's how they do our, you know, our history, by, yeah, those box scores and those papers. The black newspaper tells our history."
Okay.
And he said that you got it, saying I'm. So then one day he called me and said, "Yeah, I got you." So then when they did Major League Baseball, they started it in 2004. I think they gave me the back money, though. So,
uh-huh,
they did halfway right by me, you know. So,
okay. All right. Now, Major League Baseball recently included the stats in its history book of Negro League players. I mean, what is the consensus thought?
My thing is this, Coach. When they put Josh and Satchel and all those guys into the Hall of Fame,
uh-huh,
they had to have the stats, mm-hmm, to go along with them.
Okay.
That's the reason you go in, is by your stats, right? Mm-hmm. So the stats should have been in.
So somebody just didn't want the stats to be public.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
If you're a 200 hitter, we don't have to worry about you going in the Hall of Fame. But if you go in the Hall of Fame and you're a 400 hitter, them stats are supposed to go with you, right?
That's what they say.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm saying it's something that should have happened when they went in.
So, but this is a great accomplishment because Negro League Baseball, I mean, a lot of people don't know the history of Negro League Baseball, and they don't know that Negro League Baseball was the number three gross an economy in the black community back in his day.
Right, but see, that Atlanta Life and North Carolina Mutual, during that time when blacks, the only way they could get insurance was with them, and Madam C.J. Walker with the hair products, and then Negro League Baseball was number three.
Uh-huh.
See, and then Negro League Baseball played under the lights 5 years before Major Leagues played.
So Negro League Baseball was kind of like the pioneer setting the stage.
And when they played the Major League teams out of the 200 and some games, the black teams won over 150 games out of 200 games. But they history, they you know, they kind of, now that's part of history they don't show.
Mm-hmm.
They don't publicize.
Now, what about the crowds? I mean, you know, I understand Satchel Paige.
Well, see, what happened, we had crowds, let me tell you. New York, and one of the reasons that Ricky had to go get Jackie Robinson was because when the New York Cubans played the Kansas City Monarchs in Birmingham, played the Detroit Stars over in Yankee Stadium, they had 40,000 and 50,000.
Wow.
And the Dodgers would play St. Louis Cardinals at Evans Field, they'd have 13,000.
Hmm.
So Ricky went after that money. You see, he wasn't that, because he was with the Cardinal organization for years. He didn't try to integrate. But what he had to do, he was scrambling to stay in business. See, with him, it was a business. And what we did, we got so polarized of seeing a black on a white team, we stopped going to see the blacks on black teams. And that's what really put us out of business.
And I've been saying that all the time. I mean, you know.
And then once they started, they started getting the cream of the crop. So that left us, you know, the blue chippers, they you know how the game go.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, when you, it's not a lot of Negro League players left living today. I mean, you know, you guys are still here. You're the Giants, and it's upon you guys to tell the story.
Oh, yeah. I go and tell the story. Wherever I can go, I tell the story. And I talk with the boys' club, you know, and the youngsters, and school children. Wherever they listen, I talk to them about the game.
Well, see, you
Negro
need
Negro League ball.
You need your own TV show. That's what you need. The coach and Sam Allen need to team up now.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, the coach. This is the coach's corner.
Yeah, well. So I mean, you know, reflecting back over it, I mean, you know, Negro League baseball has come a long way. What do we have to do to get black players playing this game and to get Major League Baseball into truly making a commitment to drafting
them? What we're doing, what I'm doing, I'm starting with the T-ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to start, and what we used to do, you see, when I came along, we didn't have the TV, you didn't have the telephone, and we played in the alleys, we played in the cornfields, we played in the street. We got a tennis ball and a broomstick, and that's how you got your bat speed up.
Mm-hmm.
And we started out from and in school, when you went to elementary school, you played baseball. See, baseball, they didn't have the NBA and the NFL wasn't popular like it is today, you know?
Yeah.
See, and baseball was in our community, and we owe a lot to the game of baseball, because mm-hmm. baseball has really helped us, and we've helped baseball.
And that's kind of where we see this league of our own. We see it as a developmental league, as a farm team, as a minor league structure for baseball players. Let me rephrase that. We see it as an opportunity to promote diversity in baseball for baseball players that have gone past high school and have no place to play, finished college and no place to play.
Right, and what happens with college? See, the college ball, the season is just about over now. Mm-hmm. The regular season is over. So you got the whole summer.
Midwest Fall Independent Baseball League names team after former Negro League baseball player Sam Allen. In 1957, he went on to play for the Kansas City Monarchs. In 1958, he played for the Raleigh Tigers. And in 1959, he played for the Memphis Red Sox. The team shall be named the Sam Allen Monarchs to forever honor his memory for past, present, and future generations. In 2003, he was elected into the African American Hall of Fame. If you are a baseball player interested in being a part of this team or would like to become a sponsor, booster, or donor, please contact us at 205-264-1468.
But people don't realize that we have to have our own developmental leagues, our own farm system, so we can stop talking about what we don't have in the major leagues, but how we go get them there.
Right, right. And then what we got to do, too, we got to start right with the inner city. See, what we have to do, we have to start developing and develop that, start from the bottom.
Okay. Now, rumors have it that in 1957, you led the league in scoring.
Yeah, I did. In run score. Yeah, I did.
And you played with the Raleigh Tigers, the Memphis Red Sox, before being sent off into the Army, the 82nd Airborne.
Right. Yeah, I was in Kansas City first, and mm-hmm. I was Raleigh, and then ended up with Memphis Red Sox. But see, mm-hmm. what happened, I was with Kansas City in 57, and I led the league in run score. But 58, they sent me to Raleigh, and I was wondering, but the reason they sent me to Raleigh, because Willis Brown came back to the Monarchs from the Texas League, and he had played in the majors in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel bad, you know, with him taking my job. So he played a couple of months, and he went back into organized ball.
Mm-hmm.
But see, but he was the first to hit a home run in the American League. And see, he played in 47, him and Hank Thompson. Was with the St. Louis Browns. Mm-hmm. You don't hear people talk about that.
Yeah.
See, it was five blacks that played in the majors in 1947.
Mm-hmm.
It was Jackie Robinson with the Kansas City Monarchs. Dan Bankhead was Memphis Red Sox. Larry Doby with Newark Eagles played with the Cleveland. Then you had Hank Thompson and Willis Brown from the Monarchs to the St. Louis Browns.
Mm-hmm.
See, the rest of those, Hank Thompson went back with the Giants, but Willie Brown didn't particularly want to go back. Because he hit a home run with the St. Louis Browns. He brought the guy's bat, and the guy broke the bat.
Uh-huh.
So he didn't particularly care about playing in the major leagues at that time. You know, St. Louis was kind of rough, you know.
I mean, you had a long baseball career. Who are some of the guys that mentored you, and who are some of the major league guys now that you are friends, associate yourself with?
Man, but the guy that my mentor, my manager, was William Dizzy Dismuke. He was like a father figure. Dismuke, he was the manager of the Kansas City Monarchs. Dismuke was in the Negro League for 40 years.
Mm.
He dressed up, he wore a beaver hat and shirt and tie, and he managed from the dugout.
Uh-huh.
He was one of my heroes. And the Wesley Byrne, who was he was a big guy, he looked like Louis Armstrong, he was from New Orleans. Matter of fact, they named the stadium where the colleges play now in New Orleans after him, Byrne Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but and now with the guys in the major league, C.C. Sebastian, man, he treats me real like a brother. I mean, those guys, I was with those guys, Granderson and LaTroy Hawkins, those guys, man, they really treat me, make me feel good, you know? And Dave Winfield, I was with him, he was there, and we did a podcast. And those guys, they really reach out to me.
When we do this official dedication of this team to Sam Allen, you're going to have to make sure all these heavyweights out there embracing and supporting you.
Yeah, I hope so.
Okay, last question. I mean, you know, you had opportunity to play for the Kansas City Monarchs.
Right.
On the well-known Negro Leagues team. I mean, what is your thoughts about being a part of the Monarchs?
Well, that was a team that Jackie Robinson, Satchel Paige was part of it. But I tell you, the last team I played with was the Memphis Red Sox. You don't hear much talk about Memphis. But Memphis, the Martins, matter of fact, it was four brothers, and it was J.B., W.S., and B.B. Martin. They owned the Chicago American Giants, the Memphis Red Sox. They were the last ones who had a ballpark. We had our own ballpark. Mm. And when you played at Memphis, you stayed on the road 2 weeks, then you would come home for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So you went on the road like the rest of the team. You stayed on the road 24/7.
Yeah.
But with Memphis, and then Memphis had money put in a trust fund for the baseball team.
Okay.
In 1959, we played, and when the money ran out before the end of the season, that's when they folded. But he made sure when you played with Memphis, you got paid, and you got a check. If you got that check on Sunday, you could go to drugstore anywhere and cash that check. When they saw Martin's name on that, You could get that check cashed. You had to wait for the bank to open. Because They knew they had the money in the bank.
That's what happens. They say money talk and everything else walks.
Oh, yeah. And we're having a Negro League night here on the 28th of June. And Dr. J.B. Martin's grandson was called the first pitch because Dr. Martin was the last commissioner of the Negro League.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have to meet him one day. You're going to have to use your clout to introduce me to him.
Yeah.
So you hanging out with the heavyweights.
Well, okay. That's the way it was. Well, you're a heavyweight. I'm hanging out with you.
Coach, visiting with Sam Allen as we get ready to dedicate one of the teams in the League of Our Own Baseball in honor of this living legend. Sam Allen, I thank you for your time, and we'll definitely get back together again in the future.
Okay, Coach, and you stay in the fight. Whatever you do, stay in the fight.
All right. Thank you, sir.
I'm in your corner. Hey, look, I'm in your corner.
That's what I want to hear.
All right. We're going to go 15 rounds. Look, it might not be a knockout in the early rounds, but we're going 15. We prepared to go 15 rounds.
We go get there.
All right, now.
All right. Take care.
You be blessed.
You too. One of the legendary Negro League baseball player Sam Allen. Well, we're trying to make it happen, and we're trying.
Yeah, we got to make it happen.
The Lou Baseball Independent Baseball League naming a team after Sam Allen.
That's an honor. I'm really elated. I didn't ever think that I'd have a team named after me, you know. But I'm happy.
Well, that means when you're gone, your legacy will be living on in the minds and hearts of a future generation.
And I appreciate that, Coach.
All right.
I really appreciate that. And I'm going to try to do everything I can to help enhance this.
Okay, so we're going to set a date for the future dedication, and we are expecting you and the public to be in attendance.
Well, I intend to be there.